coming through the open window fluttered the white curtains and jingled the dragonfly mobile that hung over the crib. The room felt bright and airy, especially with so much natural light. When the sun shone on the lemon walls, they turned into a deeper sunbeam shade. She'd created a warm, serene space that was as inviting as it was cozy. He was now extremely glad he'd accepted her request to leave the whole thing to her. "I was startled when the delivery guys assembled the furniture before they left," she said. "I'm used to flat packs." Still, it had taken Harper a week to get the room exactly the way she wanted it. She'd bet Tanner and Keenan were ecstatic that the manual labor was over, because she'd really put them to work. "Well, what do you think?" He turned to face her, and the pride on his face warmed her.
"I think you did an amazing job."
Knox placed his hands on her shoulders.
"And I think you made the best decision when you chose to design it yourself."
She smiled, relieved. "I'm glad you like it." He cocked his head.
"You were worried that I wouldn't?"
"Well, you're a very selective guy. Hard to please in many ways." He breezed his mouth over hers.
"It's never hard for you to please me. Really, I love what you've done with the room, and I think the baby will love it too. I meant to ask, why the dragonfly mobile? I like it. I'm just curious."
"For the same reason that I got the tattoo of one on my nape. I admire them, despite having a short lifespan and being very delicate. They don't let either hold them back. Plus, they're master flyers. Any sphinx would love to be a master flyer." And she wanted that for the baby, was a little worried that, like her, its wings wouldn't come to it naturally.
"Ah, I get it."
Knox gestured at the box and bag near the closet.
"I see that you have everything ready."
"Yep. All we have to do on the big day is take it downstairs to the living room." She'd chosen to have a home birth, which wasn't uncommon for demons. She liked the idea of being in her own home, a familiar place where she felt comfortable, relaxed, and safe. While she went through what would no doubt be a hell of an experience. Her main reason for choosing a home birth, however, was that she wouldn't feel safe in a hospital. It would be a time when she was vulnerable, when Knox was distracted, and when the baby wouldn't be all that difficult to get to, no matter how many precautions were taken. As such, people might think it was a good time to attack. At home, she and the baby would be a hell of a lot safer. Everything she needed for the birth was ready in the box, thanks to Meg. Old sheets and towels, blankets, and plastic sheeting, among other things. Meg had also gotten hold of a portable heater to keep the baby warm. Apparently, her daughter had used one, and it had been ideal. Harper had still packed a bag with toiletries and clothes for her and the baby, just in case there were complications and she needed to be transferred to a hospital. It also meant she didn't have to send Knox and Meg on errands to seek out the stuff she wanted during the home birth. All they'd have to do was grab her bag. Rogers hadn't advised against a home birth since the last ultrasound scan had showed that the baby had indeed had a growth spurt. It was no longer smaller than what it should be, and, in fact, was a little bigger than he'd expected.
"Nervous about the birth?"
asked Knox as they left the nursery, closing the door behind them. She bit her lip. "Yeah. I've read about it, heard countless stories about it, and I'd like to think I'm prepared, but I still have my worries." Hating that he couldn't fix that for her, Knox said,
"I'll help however I can. Tell me what you want, and I'll make it happen. Whatever you need me to do, I'll do it."
"I don't need you to do anything complicated. Just be there." If she could feel close and connected to this person who made her feel safe,
Harper knew she'd get through it okay. He rested his forehead against hers. I will be with you every step of the way, I promise. And speaking of the baby, I have some news. The lair is organizing a parade in the underground.
Her brow furrowed. A what?
A parade, in honor of the baby. Harper groaned.
Knox, you saw what people were like at the announcement, full of questions, horror stories, and unwanted advice. The further along a woman is in the pregnancy, the worse it is. When Heidi's mom was pregnant, I felt so bad for her. It's like people see a baby bump and forget the existence of etiquette. They commented on everything. Her boobs being bigger, the weight she'd gained, her face being plumper, her ankles swelling up.
Knox raked his gaze over her. I don't mind that your breasts are bigger. The only weight you really gained is the weight you initially lost. And your face isn't plump. Your ankles don't look swollen either.
Not the point, Thorne. Heidi's mom gracefully ignored it, but I don't have her easy temperament. I'd rather have the damn baby shower again, and that's saying something.
I thought baby showers were supposed to be relaxing events.
Not when they're thrown by imps, they're not.
When Jolene had told him that she'd organized a baby shower for Harper, he'd envisaged a relaxing get-together that involved silly games, finger foods, a diaper cake, and lots of oohing and aahing as the guests sat in a circle watching the mother-to-be open their gifts. But it turned out that an imp baby shower was nothing like that. Although Harper had warned him that it would be a rowdy event, he hadn't realized just what she meant until he'd later pulled up outside Jolene's house to hear "Ice, ice, baby" filtering through the open windows. The imps had a mimosa bar, a DJ, karaoke, and a barbecue going, and everyone other than Harper had been absolutely smashed by the end of it. Curling his arms around her shoulders, Knox brushed her nose with his. All right, I'll ask the lair to cancel the parade. He tilted his head when her brow creased. Why don't you look happy about it?
Because part of me now feels guilty and ungrateful. I don't want to offend the lair.
Knox almost chuckled. In her shoes, he wouldn't have felt guilty at all. But Harper had a marshmallow center that meant she'd never be as selfish as he was. I'd sooner offend our lair by canceling the parade than ask you to do something that you don't want to do.
Stop being so nice when I'm being so whiny.
You're not being whiny. Even if you were, I'd say you had every right to be. You're hormonal and heavily pregnant, which is making you feel edgy. No one who's edgy wants to deal with anything that annoys them. You're also feeling hyper-protective of the baby, so it's perfectly natural that you wouldn't want strangers around you, especially strangers who might try touching your stomach.
Neither Knox nor his demon liked the idea either. You really don't think I'm being stroppy and unreasonable?
No, I don't. I'm guessing your demon's just as restless and close to snapping. From what I've heard, that's pretty normal during pregnancy. I just thought you might like to get out of the house. You've worked so hard on the nursery that, aside from attending the baby shower, you haven't been anywhere. You were adamant that staying in the house all the time would make you crazy.
Harper frowned. I would have thought you'd be happy that I haven't been anywhere.
I find that I don't like you doing anything that seems out of character for you. It makes me worry. Meg assured me that you were nesting, and there was no need for me to be concerned, but I'll always worry about you.
Harper thought about it for a moment. It might actually be good for me to leave the house and get some air. And it might be best to let everyone see that I'm pregnant and satisfy their curiosity so they're not all staring at me if I need to go to the underground for any reason.
It might be,
he agreed, careful not to push her either way. It bothers me that people might think I'm hiding. That would give whoever's fucking with us a real kick. It would also make us look weak. Which was exactly why she hadn't wanted to stay in the villa for long, she reminded herself.
Personally, I don't much care what other people think, but I do care that people might believe I don't trust in my ability to protect you.
Harper sighed, and her shoulders drooped.
When's the parade scheduled for?
A week's time. And that meant her stomach would be even bigger for the event.
Great. I'll go. But I can't promise I'll last long, or that anyone who upsets me will walk away unscathed.
Don't worry. I don't think anyone will really want to tangle with a pregnant she-demon.
Hormonal and intolerant, they didn't deal with bullshit well at all. Harper was impatient with bullshit at the best of times.
I'm gonna need a new dress.
Most women wouldn't utter those words with irritation.
I'm not most women. I'm also not in the mood to go to the mall. My back hurts and my joints ache.
He gently rubbed her back.
So have Rainey pick up something for you, like you did when you needed a dress for the announcement.
Rainey was indeed good at choosing outfits for people. Harper wondered if part of the reason the succuba enjoyed choosing pretty clothes for others was that she very rarely bought any for herself.
Fine, relented Harper, smoothing her hands up his chest. But I expect a chocolate reward of some kind.
I can arrange that.
He gave her a quick kiss.
Tomorrow.
Another kiss.
Now we shower.
I'd rather play Naked Twister.
He laughed.
Keeping up with your sex drive might kill me.
There are worse ways to die.
There were indeed.
You know what I just realized?
A shiver worked through Harper at the sound of his sex voice. It was all dark, dominant, and hypnotic.
What?
He scraped his teeth over her earlobe.
We haven't christened the closet.
Harper swallowed.
That's a bad oversight on our part. Terrible, even. I'm thinking we should rectify it.
It wouldn't be right if we didn't.
Thrusting his hands into her hair, he kissed her, licked into her mouth, sucked on her tongue, bit at her lip, took and tasted and dominated. All the while he was backing her into their room and then through to the closet. Stopping near the sofa, he said,
I want what's under these clothes. Take them off.
A little dazed by that hot, heavy kiss, Harper nonetheless managed to shed her clothes without stumbling or losing her balance. She was rather chuffed with herself for that.
This is the part where you get naked, too.
He skimmed his knuckles down the column of her throat.
There's something I like about you being naked while I'm fully clothed. I don't know what it is.
He closed his hand around her breast, squeezing it just the way she liked. She arched into him, gripping his arms.
I'm going to fuck you, Harper. I want you to come hard for me. I want you to feel my cock throbbing inside you. Want you to feel my cum shooting deep in you. But first, I want to watch you suck my cock.
He tipped his chin at the black leather sofa behind her.
Sit.
Well, now. Engines revving like crazy, Harper backed into the sofa and sat. Knox moved to her. Without being asked, she undid his fly, not quickly and clumsily, but slowly and deftly. His cock sprang out, but she didn't move. She waited for his direction. He slid his fingers through her hair.
You can be such a good girl when you want to be, can't you?
Harper smiled.
Oh, she could be a very, very good girl.
It just didn't happen often. Bunching her hair in his hands, Knox tugged.
Open for me.
She did, and he thrust into her hot mouth.
Suck hard. That's it.
He didn't need to tell her what to do or how to do it. She knew exactly what he liked and exactly how he liked it, and she gave it to him, danced her tongue around his cock, sucked hard enough to make her cheeks hollow, swallowed so that he felt her throat contract around him. Using his grip on her hair to hold her still, he took over and fucked her mouth. She didn't object, didn't fight him, didn't move other than to drag her nails down the back of his thighs. He felt the telling tingle at the base of his spine and knew he had to stop. Pulling out of her mouth, he snatched her head back and traced her swollen lips with his finger.
How wet are you?
Why don't you find out for yourself?
I think I will. Up.
He helped her stand and kissed along her neck.
I want to know how wet you are. Show me.
Understanding, Harper dipped her finger inside her and then held it up to him. Eyes locked with hers, he took the glistening finger into his mouth and sucked it clean. She licked her bottom lip, watching as the raw need in his dark eyes flared. God, she hoped he didn't start teasing her. Since reaching the last stage of the pregnancy, she'd had a quicker trigger than usual. Right then, she needed to be fucked, not teased, not toyed with, fucked.
Kneel on the sofa, and hold on to the back.
Doing a happy dance in her head, Harper turned and did as he'd asked. She let her eyes close as he dragged his tongue up her spine, ending his journey with a nip to her nape.
Knox!
Her mouth fell open in a silent gasp as he sank a finger inside her and swirled it around.
Soaking wet, exactly how I like you.
He twisted her hair into a ponytail, jerked her head back, and drove his cock deep into her pussy. He swore as her walls squeezed him tight, and she let out one of those throaty moans that made his balls ache.
I love that sound. Let's see if we can make you do it again.
He slowly pulled back and then plunged inside her.
And there it is.
Knox rode her hard, pumped into her fast and deep like he'd never get enough. And he never would. Never. He'd always need and crave her. Crave this. It wouldn't matter if they were together years, decades, centuries. The longing that burned inside him for her would never leave. And he never wanted it to. As her pussy started to quake around his cock, he stilled and gave a slight tug on her hair.
Not yet. You don't come until I've come. And I'm not ready to leave this pussy yet.
Harper shook her head. Sure, she couldn't hold on for long.
This is gonna happen with or without you, big guy.
Wait for me,
he rumbled into her ear. He knew she would. Knew she'd hold on if he asked her to. Knew she'd do it just because it pleased him, and he fucking loved that. Harper hissed as his teeth dug into her neck, and he started plowing into her again. Not because the bite hurt, but because she liked the sting of pain, and it pricked at the orgasm she was fighting. Each slam of his cock was smooth, sure, and possessive. Every now and then, he'd slow his pace and give a few gentle thrusts. But then, he'd resume pumping into her fast and hard, keeping her off balance.
Knox, seriously, I can't fight it.
But you will.
He thrust harder, gritting his teeth as her pussy heated and tightened. His own release came, tumbling towards him, and Knox's fingers bit into her hip. Yanking on her hair, he erupted inside her, growling,
"Now!"
Harper let go of the stranglehold she'd held on her orgasm. The friction within her snapped like an elastic band. Her release blasted through her, violent and intense. She screamed, riding it out, until, left with the strength of a noodle, she slumped over her sofa. Knox kissed the back of her shoulder, enjoying the feel of her pussy fluttering around him as she came down from her orgasm.
You okay?
Your cock is awesome.
Startled, he chuckled. Harper just smiled. Chapter 18. Looking out of the floor-to-ceiling window of the penthouse that gave her an incredible view of the underground, Harper bit her lip.
They really didn't have to do all this.
Knox came up behind her and rested his hands on her stomach as he nuzzled her neck.
The Lair's excited for us. They want to show their support.
Well, they certainly showed it.
There were balloons, streamers, and congratulations banners everywhere. The underground was packed. The sidewalks were crowded with pedestrians that stood shoulder to shoulder behind the ropes. Some balanced children on their shoulders, while others encouraged their kids to sit on the curb. A few groups of juveniles had climbed onto the rooftops of the stores, where they could get a better view. Harper could easily see Rainey, Devon, Chloe, and Jolene standing at the front of the line not far from the studio eating burgers. Martina, Beck, and Kieran stood behind them, munching on hot dogs. In fact, most of the crowd was eating vendor food. The street sweepers were going to be busy later. Knox gently turned Harper to face him.
You look beautiful. Rainey chose well.
He thought the silky, ice-blue dress suited Harper perfectly.
I like that you have your hair down.
He loved her hair, loved sifting his fingers through it and feeling it brush over his skin.
And I like that you're wearing the new earrings I bought you.
He tapped one of the dangly diamonds.
They're pretty. Thank you.
Harper skimmed her fingers along his smooth jaw, breathing him in. Beneath the scent of his heavenly cologne were the smells of wood wax, fragrant oils, and clean linen.
It's not fair that you can look so mouth-wateringly hot, so effortlessly.
No hair gel, no fake tan, no cosmetic products of any kind other than cologne. He'd basically just put on one of his tailored suits, briefly combed his hair, slipped on his gleaming shoes, and bam, he was ready and edible. Knox's lips curled.
Mouth-wateringly hot? I like that.
Yeah? I only speak the truth.
Really, he was out of her league. But Harper wasn't going to dwell on that. If he said that she was what he wanted, who was she to argue? Still, it would take time for her to get used to his way of life, to all the attention, luxuries, and social power. Before Knox, she'd never experienced the kind of decadence that he surrounded himself with. The penthouse they stood in was a perfect example. Like the mansion, it was the height of luxury with high ceilings, a marble floor, beautiful paintings and custom furniture that fit Knox's elegant, masculine style. It didn't just have the usual amenities. No, it also had an office, a gym, and a sauna. Feeling a particularly sharp kick to the hand he'd rested on the side of her stomach, Knox said,
I can't work out whether that was a greeting or the baby just doesn't like the pressure of my hand.
In any case, his demon found it amusing.
Nah, I think the kid is just trying to kick its way out.
Knox gently massaged her stomach.
It's amazing to think that in just 5 weeks we'll be able to hold it.
It was a scary yet exhilarating thought, and he was looking forward to it. He was also anxious. He'd heard so many stories of demon births going wrong, and he hated the thought of her in pain. Still, he'd never let her see that anxiety. That wasn't what she needed from him.
The time has flown by so fast.
It has, which is surprising, because I expected to feel as if the whole time dragged.
You know, I'm also kind of surprised that a being who's as old and sexually active as you are doesn't already have at least one kid.
I've always been extremely careful to use protection. I don't think I could have trusted anyone other than you to carry and care for my child. His demon certainly couldn't have.
Don't be sweet. You'll make me cry.
He curled a hand around her chin.
Don't cry. I hate seeing you cry, even when I know it's just hormones at work.
Then get back to the current matter and distract me.
Okay. The parade itself won't take long. We'll do a quick lap of the underground.
Tell me we're not riding in a sparkly float, she begged.
He chuckled.
Not a sparkly float. After we finish the lap, we'll go to the ice lounge and relax there for the rest of the celebration. I've no doubt that people will come talk to you, but at least you'll be sitting comfortably and be well guarded when they do.
Can Jolene, my family, and the girls meet us there?
Yes, I've already put them on the VIP guest list. They should already be in the VIP section by the time we get there.
Thank you.
You don't have to thank me. You're mine. I'll always give you what you need.
He felt the baby move again. This time, it was as if it rolled beneath his hand.
This little one sure is active tonight.
Like I said, it wants out.
In 5 weeks, it will get its wish.
He kissed her and spoke against her mouth.
Love you, baby.
And I love you.
Hearing a ping, Harper twisted to look at the private elevator that was a direct entrance into the suite. The doors slid open, revealing all four sentinels looking smart and alert.
Everything's in place, Levi told them. Time to go. We're ready.
Knox threaded his fingers through hers and led her through the spacious entryway and into the elevator. The sentinels backed against the four walls to make room, all giving them brief nods. As the shiny metal doors closed behind them, Harper let out a breath.
Looking good, guys.
The sentinels each shot her an impatient glance. Sorry, you're concentrating on looking scary and unapproachable.
Don't worry, you've got that down.
The elevator hummed as they descended. It came to a very smooth halt, with a chime, and then the doors slid open once again. Without a word, two sentinels took the lead while the others took up the rear as they walked through the reception area and out of the automatic doors. Harper gave a low whistle at the sight she found. Many people were waiting, all dressed up in glitzy costumes. There were acrobats, cheerleaders, stilt walkers, dance troops, and baton and flag twirlers. Even better, there were a bunch of demons on Harley Davidsons. Harper was totally jealous that she couldn't ride one of those, right up until she realized that Knox was leading her to a beautiful carriage that was pulled by two white, fine-boned horses.
Wow,
she breathed. Harper inhaled. She loved the smell of horses, hay, wood chips, sunshine, dust, and a hint of leather. Tanner opened the carriage door and held out his hand.
I'll give you a boost, since your size challenged.
Hey!
She playfully whined, allowing him to help her into the carriage. She wasn't at all surprised by the lavish cream leather interior. Knox always traveled in style. Knox slid in beside her and arched a brow.
Well?
This is pretty awesome, she told him. I've never been in a horse-drawn carriage before.
Really? Good. I like to introduce you to new things.
Well, you massively succeeded.
She noticed that the four sentinels flanked the carriage. Levi and Larkin stood on the right, while Tanner and Keenan stood on the left.
I'm guessing they'll be guarding us the entire time.
You guessed correctly. I won't ever take chances with your safety, Harper. The performers are part of our lair, but that doesn't mean I trust them so close to you. Throughout the parade, some of the performers will precede us. The others will follow. That means that, essentially, we're boxed in if there's a threat, which is why the sentinels are here and members of the force are on patrol.
She wasn't the least bit surprised by how tight his security measures were.
Then you've done all you can do. Let's get this done.
Knox nodded to someone, and then a voice came over the loudspeaker, announcing the beginning of the parade. A big applause rang through the underground. Then everyone around them began to move. Harper almost jumped as the marching band roared to life. The drumbeat seemed to vibrate in her chest as the carriage smoothly pulled onto the strip. There was hooting, whistling, shouting, and laughing. Some threw confetti while others threw candy, snapping pictures with their cell phones. When the carriage neared the studio, Harper beamed as she caught sight of the girls and her family. Hooting and jumping, they waved like crazy people. Jolene did a very regal wave that made Harper's demon smile. As the performers and carriage continued down the strip, the members of the force worked to keep the spectators behind the ropes and ensure that all the performers moved in a timely fashion. All the while, their eyes searched for potential threats. She leaned into Knox.
Considering I'm nervous, the smells of popcorn, frying onions, and grilled meat shouldn't be making me feel hungry.
Her words were almost drowned out by the shouting, the marching band, the clip-clop of horses' hooves, and the rumble of the Harley engines. Knox brushed confetti out of her hair.
We'll eat once this is over.
Satisfied by that, Harper carried on waving as the parade went on. Her face actually hurt from fixing a smile on her face as they passed what seemed like a never-ending row of bars, restaurants, stores, coffee houses, hotels, and casinos. People waved from their hotel balconies, and some even dangled cotton congratulations banners. Harper waved back, which felt totally weird, but it would have been rude not to. With all the noise, the sparkly costumes, and the delicious sense of vendor food, it was a sensory overload. Her demon was impatient to get it over and done with. Harper suspected that she might collapse in relief when it was over. She tried to make eye contact with the kids, amused by how excited they looked. One particular child caught her attention because he wasn't jumping or waving. Taking a closer look, she realized it was Macaulay. He stared right at her, his eyes as blank as always. It gave her the chills, and she shivered. Knox put his mouth to her ear.
What's wrong?
Nothing. I just saw Macaulay.
Elena must have brought him.
Yeah, I guess so.
Shaking off her discomfort, Harper went back to waving and smiling at the crowd. It was a further half an hour before the parade was finally over, and she was so happy to be able to lower her aching hand and drop that Barbie smile. At Knox's request, the demon steering the horses dropped them off at the Ice Lounge. It was an upscale bar that Harper hadn't actually been to before. When she entered, she could only gasp. It was like walking into a giant Alaskan cave. Only the ice was completely synthetic, and the temperature was warm. The curved-back chairs were the same white leather as the swivel stools lining the bar, but it seemed that they were the only, well, normal furnishings. The dome bar, the tables, the glasses, the sculptures, and even the walls themselves were all made of artificial ice. The ceiling shimmered with the colors of the Alaskan northern lights. It was seriously beautiful to watch. The colors reflected off the walls, making the ice seem tinted at times. Also, there was some kind of light inside each of the tables, making the fake frosted cubes glow. In sum, this place is fucking awesome. Even her demon was impressed.
Glad you like it,
said Knox, as he led her past the crowded tables to the VIP area, where leather sofas lined the walls. As he'd anticipated, Jolene, Beck, and Harper's co-workers were already there, drinks in hand. They all rose, grinning. Jolene pulled Harper into a one-armed hug.
Hello, sweetheart. Relieved it's over?
So relieved I could cry with joy, said Harper honestly.
Jolene cackled.
Knox, always a pleasure.
He nodded.
Jolene, good to see you.
After everyone exchanged greetings, Knox guided Harper to the corner of the eternally long sofa, where she'd be surrounded and out of reach. The sentinels joined them in lounging around the VIP area, but they also watched the crowd closely with shrewd eyes. Harper glanced around.
Where's Martina and Kieran?
Martina's working the crowd, replied Jolene.
Translation. She was pickpocketing.
And Kieran's chatting up some girl at the bar.
At that moment, the server appeared, took Knox and Harper's orders, and then left. Rainey stirred her cocktail as she spoke to Harper.
God, it's been super weird not seeing you every day.
Devon nodded.
Don't take this the wrong way, but I genuinely didn't expect to miss you this much.
Harper snorted.
Thanks, I guess.
Tanner grinned at Devon.
You've missed me, too. Admit it.
The Hellcat sneered.
Or I could just punch you in the dick instead.
So, you've been thinking about my dick, huh? Don't worry. It thinks about you all the time.
Devon turned to Harper, her hand gripping her highball glass tightly.
If you don't end him, I will.
Harper sighed tiredly.
Tanner, stop risking your life.
He ignored her, of course, and proceeded to sniff Devon's hair.
Come on, we need a picture,
Chloe announced. Keenan literally dashed out of the way, and the imp rolled her eyes.
Chill, Keenan. I just want one of us girls. Larkin, that includes you.
The she-demons all grouped together and smiled while Chloe snapped a few photos. Rainey and Devon then also did the same with their phones.
I heard about the baby shower, Larkin said to Chloe.
If Harper were talking about anyone but you, I'd have thought she was kidding when she said that you strapped diapers to your feet and tried skiing down Jolene's hallway.
Keenan shook his head in judgment.
She wasn't kidding. I was there.
He'd been on bodyguard duty with Tanner. Chloe glared at the incubus.
Don't look at me like that. As you can see, I have a smartphone with a camera, and I ain't afraid to use it.
The server neared them, holding the tray high as he weaved through the crowd. Finally reaching their table, he put two square coasters on the artificial ice table and then carefully placed down Harper's water and Knox's gin and tonic. Leaving the area, he almost bumped into Mila, who had a group of people with her that Harper didn't recognize. Levi only allowed Mila to pass, but the others didn't appear to take offense.
Knox! Harper! I just wanted to say congratulations in person.
Mila gave Harper a genuine but reserved smile.
It's good to see that you're well, and your hair looks so shiny and healthy.
See? Said Knox. Not everyone will have harsh things to say.
My breasts were a lot bigger than yours when I was pregnant, Mila continued. There's still time for yours to grow, though. But your backside does seem a little bigger, so at least there's that.
Yeah, at least there's that,
Harper said.
Told you this would happen.
Knox tactfully changed the subject, and before long, Mila and her guests were gone. Harper gave him a grateful smile. Over the next half hour, he had to do it several more times. It didn't always work, however. Some people were totally undeterred, such as Raoul's girlfriend, who rambled on and on about her friend's pregnancy and then asked,
"Can I touch your belly?"
"Depends if you're willing to pay the fee," said Harper, deadpan. Her brow furrowed.
"What?"
"Nothing."
Raoul covered his laugh with a cough.
"It was great talking with you both. Hopefully we'll do it again soon."
Harper couldn't bring herself to return the sentiment, which only seemed to amuse Raoul more. Devon shook her head in wonder once they'd left.
"Some people can be so rude."
Chloe snorted.
"Says the person who keeps reaching out to stroke her baby bump. Well, at least I pull my hand back."
It was a good thing that she did, thought Harper, because her demon wouldn't react well, despite the fact that it trusted Devon to an extent. It was currently on edge and wanted to get out of the place, away from all the strangers around it.
"Soon,"
Harper assured it. As the hours went on, more and more people approached to pass on their congratulations and ask after Harper's welfare. Of course, they were also filled with questions. Did she know the sex of the baby? Had they chosen any names? Wouldn't it be funny if it turned out that Harper was carrying twins? No, actually, it wouldn't be funny. Not at all. Her demon tensed when Polly approached. It remembered her from the announcement, and it didn't like how nosy she was. Polly's eyes widened.
"Wow! Your belly is big!"
Harper blinked.
"This somehow surprises you?"
"Hello, pregnant."
"It's just that you're bigger each time I see you."
Wasn't that how it was supposed to work?
"You look as though you're going to burst any second now."
What a stroke to the ego that was.
"Well, don't worry. The baby's not quite ready to make its debut yet."
"I'll bet your sex drive has gone through the roof. My sister's did."
"Really? Please stop talking,"
Harper barely refrained from adding. She sensed Knox's amusement and wanted to smack him.
"Oh, yes. You know, my Raymond said he'd always fantasized about having sex with a pregnant woman. We all have our fantasies, but some of Raymond's do surprise me. Personally, I don't understand what the attraction could possibly be in having sex with a pregnant woman, but..."
She cut off, as if just realizing she could be offending Harper. At this point, Chloe, Rainey, and Devon, who were all absolutely shit-faced after hours of drinking shots, were practically folded over with silent laughter. Taking a deep breath, Harper said,
"Right. Well, I think it's safe to say that we've officially arrived at the end of this conversation."
"Yes," said Polly with a shaky laugh. "Before I go, let me give you a little advice."
"Oh, God, please don't,"
Harper wanted to say. Instead, she chugged down her water like it was tequila. As she listened to Polly talk about her son's wide shoulders, the use of forceps, and a consequential conehead, she gripped Knox's arm.
"As much as I love unsolicited advice, you need to make her stop."
Knox massaged Harper's nape as he expertly redirected the conversation by involving Jolene, who soon managed to guide Polly away.
"Okay, you were right," he relented. "People do see baby bumps as a green light to say inappropriate things."
Harper nodded, taking a calming breath. It worked, but that calm quickly left her when she saw none other than Thatcher, Jonas, and Alethea approaching. The dolphin was smiling, but her eyes were hard. That wasn't what caught Harper's attention, though. It was how close she was to Thatcher. They invaded each other's space in a very intimate way.
"I think Thatcher's banging the dolphin."
Knox blinked.
"That sounded wrong on several levels."
Levi reluctantly allowed the three demons to pass, giving each of them a warning glare that they didn't fail to miss. Apparently, though, Alethea chose to ignore hers, because she pointed at Harper's stomach and said,
"So, that's what happened to my beach ball."
The others all sucked in a shocked breath. Total fucking bitch. Harper just stared at her blankly. She wants me to hit her, doesn't she? I totally get that now. Her demon snarled, wanting to rise and deliver a warning of its own. Harper barely managed to keep it from surfacing. Knox rubbed her thigh soothingly, but he didn't say a word to Alethea. He didn't need to. His icy glare was enough to make her pale. The girls slid forward on their seats, looking ready to pounce. Chloe even shoved up imaginary sleeves, as if readying herself to deliver a solid punch.
"Alethea,"
Jonas reprimanded her under his breath. He then shot both Knox and Harper a wide yet awkward smile.
"I apologize for my sister's behavior."
"I've noticed you do that a lot," clipped Jolene.
Jonas's mouth tightened.
"We're here in peace. I came to see how Harper was doing."
"I'm good, thanks," said Harper.
"I'd imagine that you're eager to see the end of the pregnancy,"
hedged Thatcher, the shadow of a smile on his face. He seemed to be genuinely trying to make conversation. Harper nodded.
"It's hard to cart the beach ball everywhere," she said dryly, taking Alethea's joke and making it her own.
The others laughed, and, as Harper had hoped, Alethea flushed in anger. Awesome.
"I don't think your stomach's actually that big," said Rainey. "Not for someone who only has 5 weeks left before the baby comes."
Devon nodded.
"I was thinking the same thing."
Knox lay his arm across Harper, resting a possessive hand on her thigh.
"The baby's annoyed."
Just a brief touch of its mind was enough for Knox to pick up a vibe of irritation.
"I know," said Harper. "I don't know whether my emotions rub off on it, or it just gets annoyed by me being annoyed."
Thatcher looked at Knox, his expression nostalgic.
"Watching your child be born is an amazing thing. Becoming a father, it changes you. For some people, that's a good thing. For others, it's not. But I have a feeling it will affect you in a good way. You're a man who has his priorities straight and takes care of what's his."
He slid a meaningful look at Alethea and said to her,
"There's really only so many times your brother can save you. One day, you'll push them too far. There'll be no one who can help you."
He walked away. Cheeks reddening, Jonas gave a courteous nod.
"Enjoy your evening. Time to go, Alethea."
"Thatcher's right,"
Knox told her before she had the chance to leave.
"Your petty comments are designed to make Harper feel bad about herself. They don't work, which is the only reason you breathe."
His eyes bled to black, and his demon said,
"If there ever comes a time when you do hurt her, there will be no one who can keep you safe from me."
To Harper's shock, Alethea's own demon rose, but before it could say a single word, Jonas swiftly propelled it away. It was a few moments before Knox's demon finally retreated.
"You okay?"
Harper asked him.
"I should be asking you that. It was you who she tried to hurt."
Jolene made a dismissive sound.
"Ignore her. And ignore all this advice you've been given. It's just verbal junk mail. And to think that they'd risk upsetting a pregnant she-demon.
There are a lot of people who are simply, well, stupid. Don't listen to any of the others either, sweetheart. Pregnancy is a personal, subjective experience. What people can't forget is that everyone experiences it a little differently. It's challenging, and it can be scary, but it's a gift and a privilege. Enjoy it. Harper smiled.
I will. Thanks, Grams.
Scooting to the edge of the sofa, she said,
Larkin, I gotta pee.
And the tension was broken. The harpy chuckled. Come on. Harper gave Knox a quick kiss and then allowed Larkin to help her stand.
Ooh, I'll come too.
Chloe rose, swayed, double blinked. Larkin put a hand on the imp's shoulder and sat her back down. Chloe didn't even seem to notice.
I'll stay here,
slurred Rainey.
You know, I don't like it when the room spins.
Devon tossed back the rest of her Cosmo and stood.
I'll go with you. I got your back.
Harper didn't bother pointing out that the Hellcat could barely walk. It was an unspoken rule that none of them ever went to the restrooms alone. It wouldn't matter to Devon that Larkin was coming along. Devon would feel the need to come, too. Larkin remained in front of Harper as they headed to the restrooms. There was no need to weave their way through the throngs of people. They easily moved aside at the, "Don't fucking test me," expression on the sentinel's pretty face. Mere feet away from the door, Larkin came to a halt. Motherfucker.
What is it?
Harper tracked her gaze and winced.
Oh, what?
Asked Devon from behind. Carla's heading to the restrooms with one eye on Harper, said Larkin. Why this bitch seems to like waylaying you in restrooms, Harper, I don't know. Larkin pushed open the door for the ladies' room and peeked inside. Coast is clear. Go. Harper walked in, but Devon remained with Larkin.
Go, Harper, said the Hellcat. We got this.
Larkin frowned at Devon.
I'm a sentinel. I will deal.
We got this.
Harper sighed.
Whatever. Just keep Carla away from me.
Her demon would go apeshit if the woman confronted Harper again. Alone in the restrooms, Harper quickly did her business. All the while, Larkin and Devon argued with Carla outside. Their voices were muffled thanks to the closed door and the loud music, so Harper couldn't make out what was being said. After washing her hands in the sink, she turned to grab some paper towels. And there was Macaulay. She almost jumped out of her freaking skin.
Jesus, kid! What's with the sneaking around?
Her demon stirred, anxious and ready to defend. He blinked.
You need to run.
Harper's body went rigid.
Run?
It didn't sound like a threat, but...
She's going to hurt you.
All right. That was unexpected, and damn creepy when spoken in that toneless voice. She licked her lips.
Who?
But the boy just stared at her with those chillingly blank eyes.
I don't understand, Macaulay. I didn't kill them.
Harper didn't have to ask who he meant.
Was it your demon?
He shook his head. She frowned.
Do you know who did it?
He nodded slowly. God, trying to get info out of the kid was like trying to get blood out of a stone.
Who was it? Linda.
Linda? Harper found that she wasn't quite so surprised by that answer. A part of her had always thought something was off about the woman. Still, a whole lot of things were off about the kid laying accusations at Linda's door, so Harper wasn't totally convinced.
Why? She wanted me to stay with her, and she hated Talia.
The latter didn't make sense.
Why did she hate Talia?
I don't know.
He paused.
She kept calling me Sam. I told her that's not my name, and she yelled at me.
Wyatt's voice came to Harper.
Our son was stillborn. We called him Sam.
But Harper also remembered the warning that Nora had delivered via Dario.
When the time comes to kill the child, don't hesitate.
Was the kid fucking with her head, gearing up to hurt her? Her gut said no, but Harper didn't know what to think or believe. Her demon was too wound up to think straight and help her work it out.
I didn't like it in her house,
he told her.
My demon said we weren't safe there.
Why didn't you tell me this before?
I don't know you.
It was a simple, yet very adult answer, Harper thought, as she inclined her head. Nobody with trust issues asked for help from perfect strangers. And a child who'd found out his whole life had been a lie, and whose human mother had tried to kill him, would definitely have trust issues.
Linda says you're bad,
Macaulay added.
But my demon thinks you'll protect me from her if I warn you.
Why would Linda think I was bad?
She said you killed someone she loved.
All right. That made no sense to Harper. Unless, of course, Linda had some affection for Rowan, which didn't seem likely. Where's Linda now?
I don't know, but she wants to hurt you.
Harper opened her mouth to ask just why he wanted protection from Linda, but then a new voice joined the others outside the door. It was familiar, yet too muffled for Harper to place it. Hide, she hissed. Macaulay dashed into one of the stalls and closed the door behind him. His little feet disappeared, and she figured he was standing on the toilet. She wondered if he'd been there when she'd first entered the restrooms. The door creaked open, but it wasn't Linda who walked in. It was Nora. Harper relaxed.
Hey, Nora. How are you?
Good. Good.
She gestured to the door with a huff.
Carla's up to her old tricks again. The sentinel and your friend are taking care of it. Look at you. You're glowing.
Harper grabbed some paper towels and dried off her hands.
Ah, thanks.
Nora came close.
Pregnancy's an exciting yet frightening time, isn't it?
Definitely.
But you look happy.
Harper nodded, a smile spreading across her face.
I am. I really...
She flinched, as a zap of energy shuddered up her arm. Nora raised her hand in apology.
Good old static electricity.
Oddly uneasy, Harper said,
Well, it was good speaking to you, but I have to go.
She also needed for Nora to go inside one of the stalls so that Macaulay could sneak out with Harper.
Give the sentinel and your friend a chance to scare Carla away first,
Nora advised.
Doesn't sound as if they're having much luck with that.
They're toying with her, mocking her, and giving her a lecture on her failure as a mother and as a person in general.
Harper chuckled, shaking her head.
I shouldn't find that funny.
She figured she also shouldn't feel so tired all of a sudden, but a wave of fatigue hit her hard.
Damn, I should have headed home earlier.
Yes, you should have, but I'm glad that you didn't. That would have made things much harder.
Harper frowned. Nora's voice sounded tinny and far away. Her sight began to blur, and everything seemed hazy. But she felt calm, totally serene. Her demon felt just as peaceful. A breeze built behind her, and Harper turned. morbidly fascinated by the swirling circle of red and black smoke that had come out of absolutely fucking nowhere. A portal, she realized.
What the?
A hand grabbed her arm and shoved her into the smoke. Chapter 19. Opening her eyes had never been so hard, but damn, they stung. Harper licked her chapped lips. Her mouth was bone dry, and it hurt to swallow. Her skin felt cold and dewy, especially the skin of her back, which was no doubt thanks to the damp soil beneath her. Soil? Memories slapped her. The restrooms, Macaulay, Nora, the portal. Fingertips digging into her arm and shoving her. Well now. Apparently, Nora had a fucking death wish. Obliging her would be a pleasure. Forcing her sore eyes open, Harper awkwardly sat upright and blinked a few times to clear her vision. She almost wished she hadn't, because finding that she was sprawled on a patch of land encircled by 8 tall boulders wasn't an uplifting sight. A cold mist hovered above the ground. It was thin, so it didn't haze her view of her surroundings. And it had to be said that her surroundings were pretty bleak. It seemed like an endless stretch of green, bumpy land. There was the occasional puny bush, mossy rock, or twisted tree, but the weedy land was otherwise plain and bare. No blossoms, no mountains, no landmarks, no real color. It was the kind of place where you could just walk and walk and walk, and nothing would look any different. There was an unnatural quiet that was broken only by the creak of tree branches and the eerie sound the cool wind made as it rushed over the barren land and whistled through the brittle shrubs. It brought with it scents of grass, soil, and decay. Shit. She needed to get away from here. Fast.
Knox?
Nothing.
Knox, please say you can hear me.
Still nothing. Crap. Adrenaline began to pump madly through her veins. Harper kept her cool, knowing it wouldn't do the baby any good if she lost her shit. Besides, her demon was panicking enough for both of them. Harper braced her hands on the damp soil and pushed to her feet with a moan. It was no easy feat with a baby bump. She brushed her hands together to get rid of the dirt, and then gave said bump a small rub. Her limbs trembled, yet she didn't feel weak. The mist gave the place an eerie feel, but that wasn't what had the hairs on her nape and arms standing on end. No, the uneven ground vibrated beneath her feet, and those vibrations echoed through her body. She didn't like it, because they didn't make her feel charged. They made her feel dizzy, sickly, soiled even. The wind came again, brushing against her skin and ruffling the dress that was now damp and stained with streaks of dirt. She shivered, rubbing at her cool arms as she gave her surroundings another thorough scan.